In the morning, I received a phone call and was told to board a flight. The arrangements had been made on my behalf. I packed no clothes because my clothes had been packed for me. A car arrived to pick me up. The radio announced traffic due to an accident involving a taxicab driver, a police officer, and a woman whose occupation the dispatcher did not specify, but there was no traffic. My ticket was in the breast pocket of my jacket, which was handed to me as I exited the passenger door. Waiting in line, I felt I had no body, but by the time I reached security, I was hungry. Inside my carry-on, I found two apples and a croissant, which tasted like nothing. The security agent asked me for my name. I gave him my driver's license, walked through the metal detector, and then my body went away. Before takeoff, a flight attendant announced our destination. Everyone cheered. The passenger to my right asked if I was happy to be going home. He didn't speak our destination's national language, which had become the language of the plane. I told him that I was neither happy nor unhappy. He said he understood where I was coming from, because his work had introduced him to people like me. He said that people like me had changed his life. It was true that they needed money, but the fact that he gave it to them had nothing to do with what they meant to him. His real life, outside of our destination, was complicated by ambivalence. Since childhood, his basic needs had been met as if by an invisible force. At first, he believed his mother and father were providing for him, but when they died, he was surprised to feel he had suffered no loss. Care, he realized, didn't originate within his parents, whose protection remained palpable in almost everyone he encountered. Waitstaff, his internist, even the Prime Minister. It had merely taken up residence in their bodies, which he didn't need to visit, because the cemetery had nothing to do with the rest of his life. He looked cautious when he mentioned that word, cemetery, as if he had accidentally said a slur. When he was done worrying about being offensive, he moved on to talking about his wife. Things had come to her easily. As soon as they got married, she wanted children, and then she gave birth to two. She considered recipes to be extraneous. Instead, she ordered cooking magazines and then reproduced the food on the cover page from sight. He had no use for leftovers because his office provided a catered lunch. Everyone he worked with had been elevated to the status of a boss. They made a lot of money, but weren't fond of discussing it, especially not with people like me. He appreciated the fact that people like me didn't have desires. His desires felt paralyzing because they weren't motivated by need. Everything was available to be possessed, which made it impossible to quantify an object or person's relative allure. He wished he felt more lust for his mistress. I tried to relate to him and understand his concerns. After takeoff, I unbuckled my seatbelt. A flight attendant asked if I preferred coffee or tea. I thought about it, but didn't think I had a preference. She tried another language. When she said it like that, I realized I preferred coffee. The man to my right asked for sugar, and the flight attendant asked if I wanted sugar too. I said no, and then she switched languages again and gave me sugar anyway. The coffee was delicious. The man to my right spit it out. Behind me, an elderly woman was coughing. When her body gave her a break from that, she told the flight attendant her life story. As a young girl, she said, she had been very beautiful. When she was six, her classmate fell in love with her. He wrote her letters every day. One day, one of his letters was confiscated by the school principal, who loved her too. To humiliate the classmate, the principal read the letter aloud. Everyone laughed, and the classmate never came to school again. Instead, he got very good at shooting guns. He realized that if he approached someone with a gun, even if it wasn't loaded, he could get them to give him anything.